Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the third Wim Hof Wednesday, where we have a very, very special guest, a great man from the Philly area in America, Peter Reyes, who actually was my mentor throughout the whole process. He's not only a level two instructor, he's also certified as a firewalk certified as instructor. He does it for his events. He's a Kundalini yoga instructor. He is the man of many talents. He's a bartender. He works for the Navy. And the most important role, I think, of his life in the next few days is going to be becoming a father, as his lady is pregnant and she's about to pop. Ladies and gentlemen, I want everyone to unmute themselves. Please, 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 please unmute yourself and give Peter Reyes the biggest round of applause because he deserves that. Thank you and welcome.
Woo! Yeah.
Hey, Peter, the mic is yours.
Well, I'd like to thank you first, Francesco. You're such a beautiful soul and the kind of guy who wants to bring people together and organize this sort of thing. It's like the exact thing I'm not good at is getting people together in on like the internet. So for you to do that is good. Maybe we balance each other out. Maybe we'll start working together at some point. I'll also say I think Francesco oversells this mentorship. I mean, I did a workshop for him. He just had it all in him. I don't think he knew that it was in there. I was just like, yeah, you should do it, man. Do it. Come join the club. I think that's all I really did. And he just needed a little tiny, tiny push, which is what a lot of people need, which is what you see as you start to lead. Some people, it's already in them and you just hold space for them to do their own work. Once you start doing it, you're not going to feel like you're doing any magic. You're just there and your presence might be all that's necessary to help someone, you know, transcend who they are or however you want to quantify that process that we've all gone through. So I guess I'm going to go through.
Hey, Peter. Yeah, I'll let you know when I hear you again.
Yeah.
I think you're back.
All right. So I'm just going to tell my story, which is one way I like to start my workshops. Oftentimes, you guys can steal this. We'll go around the room and we'll ask why they came to our workshop. You know, what brought you here? And you'll get a whole range of reasons. You'll get people saying, you know, it's inflammation. They got Raynaud's, or, you know, they're depressed, or, you know, they saw the Vice documentary. And then I usually tell my story. So this is the easiest part of this presentation because I've done it a million times. So I was kind of in one of those places where I'm looking for something. And we all kind of hit those places. We're just fumbling through the darkness. Everything is okay. You have a job, you have a girlfriend, you have, you know, friends, you go out and you drink, or, you know, you have a good time, but there's the emptiness. I got a hold of Scott Carney's book and you understand it intuitively. You understand what's happening, that they're doing some sort of breathing exercise, and you can acclimatize your body and somehow, you know, reckon with cold. But how is he gonna get me there? Like, all right, how's this magic man gonna get me, my body, who's afraid and doesn't believe in itself and doesn't think this is possible? How are you gonna get me there? So I was in a desperate enough time in my life that I didn't even try the breathing. I didn't take a cold shower. I didn't do anything. I just bought a ticket to Poland. It wasn't with Wim, it was with Jorin de Bruin. Who I highly recommend. I would consider him a mentor of mine. I've gone on two of his retreats and kind of, you know, stole a little bit of his style, which I think we should all do. You know, I think sometimes as a young gun, you don't think you need anyone's help. Always be a student. Always look towards someone and learn and take from everywhere. Take from what you can get. So of course, 3 or 4 days in, we're on the side of Mount Snezhka in our shorts, and you feel this power in you, and it's not about It's not about being able to deal with the cold. It's not about, you know, even dealing with inflammation and making yourself more healthy, or at least for me, that's not the message that I get. The message that I get is that there is a wellspring of power within us that's waiting to be unlocked. And we don't give that any credit. All the stories, everything that society tells us that we're weak, tells us that we're waiting for Superman, or we're waiting for something outside of ourselves to come save us, and we are victims. And that mentality has to change. I mean, if you're paying attention to the world around you, you might think it definitely has to change, because we're living in a victim mentality. And we need to realize that everything that we'll ever need exists inside of us. Everything that's out there is also in here. We just need to find out how to unlock it. So I went on that trip and I realized that. And I got back and I had all this power. And I'm like, what am I going to do with this power? And as you start walking down the path that a lot.
Hey, Pete. I'll let you know. For anyone listening or watching this later on, we are having some connection issues, but they'll be right back. Peter will be right back ASAP.
How about now?
He's back.
Sorry about that, guys. I hope it's not my computer. So yeah, once you start traveling on this path that you're more aligned with, or that lights up your soul or enlivens you, you'll start seeing all this serendipity happen and everything kind of falls into place. I think you change the energy in you and you start pulling that energy. Well, first you start pushing it out and then you start pulling it towards you. You become this magnet. So I got back from Poland and I wanted to start teaching yoga, something I've been passionate about for a while. No money. I just flew out to Europe. I was out in Prague, you know, doing the whole thing, paid for an expensive retreat. And turns out I was a part of a class action lawsuit from some restaurant I used to work at. And I got $3,000 in the mail just like a week later, right before the teacher training. So boom, rode the block, the wall, you break right through it. That's where I met the guy who I run these workshops with, Jason Muscavige, a great guy. And it just, our paths aligned. And we're coming from two different places. His is from a place of addiction and alcoholism and fighting those demons. And our paths align and we balance each other out. And since then, we've been kind of just finding ways to keep it going and inspire in different ways. So then we're walking people on top of coals. We're doing Kundalini and different Kriyas. And we're mixing in all different types of yoga into our practice and really trying to pull people in a lot of different ways. So we named our company Ignite Sadhana, because a sadhana is a practice, something that you come to every day, something that keeps you aligned. And Wim Hof is the centerpiece, because that's what started my sadhana. And my sadhana has a lot of different parts to it, but Wim Hof was the thing that started it and made me kind of find my path. So yeah, I guess the main purpose of this this meeting is to talk about different things that you might need to know going into being an instructor, things I wish I knew or things that I think are important. I guess the first one is logistical stuff. And you guys probably heard this a bunch of different times, but I'll go over it again. It's very embarrassing if you don't have the logistical stuff down. Always have an extra hose, hookup that you can attach to a faucet. Never assume,
just one moment. Let's see if I can hear you again. Not yet. I think now.
So we do a lot of workshops at studios and such. And I've made the mistake of assuming that the studio managers or people that are, you know, purveyors of the space know what the hell this is. Just assume they don't know what the hell you're talking about. or what you're doing or anything. They just heard what it was and they're trying to get people in the doors. I went to a studio recently and they didn't have a water hookup anywhere. Like they didn't know water was a part of the whole thing. We had to run a hose from a pizza shop down the street, you know, where, hey man, can we use your hose? Can we just hook up to your to your sink in the back of the kitchen? So just assume that they don't know what this is. They don't know what the breathing is. They don't know that there's water involved. They don't know that there's tubs involved, even though they ought to. Just assume that the person you're talking to does not, and be very clear about your intentions, what you need, what you want the space to be like. It's pretty easy to pull off anywhere, but still those minor details, like, all right, I'm gonna need something to hook up hose up to, and it's gonna have to run outside, things like that. People think, you know, we're gonna hook up tub or fill up tubs inside the studio, things like that. I've heard all kinds of ideas that people had. They're way off. The other thing, I have a few written down, so I'm glancing over. Don't compare yourself to other instructors. I think it's very common for young yoga teachers that I've met and young Wim Hof teachers that I've met that they're comparing themselves to other instructors and wanting to be like, you know, the one who's already leading retreats and charging however much for a workshop. For Jason and I, we tried to get out of that mindset really early on and it served us very well. So our mission still is, but you know, it evolves, was we just want to get as many people in an ice bath as possible. And so things like Francesco's bachelor party, you know, it was kind of far away. It was like 2 hours. I was in New York, Jason was in South Jersey. And I was like, let's meet up and let's give these guys an experience. And through that, I have a great friendship with Francesco. We've inspired each other and talked, and now we're doing this together. Or actually, this house that I'm in right now is not my house. I am at a shore house that a girl who came to one of our workshops offered us because she's away on vacation. So she's like, hey, you want to use my shore house? So
hey, Peter, I'll give you a second to come back. In the meanwhile, we can have a commercial break. If you need ice, come buy ice with me.
Lighting fire, showing them. Oh, did I lose you a while ago?
You did. You lost us at, I think, when she was giving you the place and how that all came to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, basically what I'm saying is that we tend to view success in terms of money, really. And gifts begin to flow, especially in this place where you're influencing people. They flow in a lot of different ways. Like Francesco, for example, offered us to fly standby because he works for an airline company. This house that I'm crashing in for the week is a shore house at the Jersey Shore because she's on vacation. So early on, especially, I mean, until your goals change, I don't know what everyone's goals are, but think about lighting fires in people and getting as many people in ice baths as possible, because especially the way things are right now, people need to connect with themselves. So that was our goal. It doesn't have to be your goal, but I think it served us well. And when you approach things that way, both things flow. The gifts from the spiritual realm and the money flows as well, and everything comes together because of intention. The other thing that you're gonna feel early on, that sometimes I still feel, is that imposter syndrome. You don't think that you're an actual instructor yet. You know, you get in the front of the room and people start asking you.
Hey Pete, we lost you. You want to try now?
Yeah. So I was talking about how you're gonna feel this imposter syndrome, that sometimes you don't feel like you're qualified to teach people. You know, think about the way that you look up to some of the instructors that you encountered, some of the people that were at your master's or your advanced or Isabel or whoever. Remember that they're no.
Did everyone freeze?
Yeah, nope, not everyone.
Okay. Sorry about that, Pete. Let me know when you're back.
Should I turn off my video?
Yeah, that's actually a great idea. Just for now, maybe it'll flow back.
You've already seen my face. You don't need to see it again. I wish I had one of those pictures that comes up when I exit out, but that's fine.
You got some beautiful hair, though. I'm going to miss that.
Thanks, brother. You're going to feel this imposter syndrome. You're going to think that you're not qualified. You're going to think that people aren't looking at you the way they are looking at you. So think about the instructors that you've had when you've gone to workshops and the way you've looked at them and thought, yes, these guys are the experts. These guys are the people that know, that have all the information that I need. That's how everyone's looking at you. And early on, the first few months or maybe the whole first year of workshops, you're going to feel like, oh man, I'm a phony. I don't know enough about this. Remember, when you go up to the front of the room, command it, you know, because that's how people are looking at you. They're looking at you as the expert. And so that kind of leads you to this thing where you got to know your shit, you know. Early on, first couple workshops I was doing, it was, you know, you start getting all these questions and it's this really nice kind of beautiful thing where people challenge you. So then it pushes you to go do the work, you know? So after I'm teaching Wim Hof method, I'm like, all right, I gotta read all the breathing books, you know, oxygen advantage, breath, you know, I gotta read about the vagus nerve. I gotta understand all the different ways that this can, that all the things that might pop up at a workshop, you know, some people are gonna come to your workshop and they wanna body hack and do a lot of push-ups, and some people want to increase nitrous oxide. So then you have this beautiful responsibility as an instructor, and you're going to feel it to want to have all these answers already in your back pocket. And so know your shit and don't fake it. If you don't know the answer, please, just say you don't know. I've seen it when people have made bullshitted and made up things because they didn't want to feel embarrassed as the leader in the room, not knowing an answer to a question. It's much more effective, and your students will respect you so much more if you just say, you know, I don't actually know the answer to that question. I'm going to look it up. And then maybe you have this really good opportunity to send them a message after the workshop and be like, hey, I found this out. Here's the information. I did the work for you. And you begin to build this nice relationship. Again, these relationships that you build are powerful. You can't keep them up with everyone because you'll have a million people kind of wanting to look towards you for inspiration. But yeah, you're going to be impacting people. So you want to come from a place of honesty and not a place of ego that you're supposed to know something that you don't. Fuck all that. So that's kind of keeping your cup full. So that's from the knowledge standpoint. The other aspect of that would be from a spiritual and emotional standpoint. So as an instructor, or as a leader in general in life, your state of being is going to overflow into your workshop. So if you're in a good mood, your workshop's going to be great. If you're in a bad mood, your workshop's going to be a little off. So again, more responsibility. Responsibility is a beautiful thing, but you have the responsibility to be in the right place in the right state of being before your workshop. So maybe that means 3 rounds of breathing before your workshop starts. Or maybe it means sometimes I'll pop on like Scott Carney or Wim Hof's book on Audible on the ride in, just to get some words flowing in my head. Or sometimes if it's more meditative, I'm listening to Alan Watts on the way to the workshop, you know, whatever it might be, but whatever inspires you, because the more inspired you are, the more of an impact you're going to have on your students, especially during the breathing. As you begin to lead the breathing, you'll start hearing all these weird things come out of your mouth. Like push over, you know, break the edge, or, you know, confront fear, or whatever comes out of your mouth. But if it's real, then people can feel the realness. And so you have a responsibility to keep your cup full, because your cup overflows into your workshops and you being the center point of it. If your energy is bad, you're going to feel it afterwards. If your energy is good, you're really going to start noticing the difference in that nuance, and it's going to become very important to you. I guess the last thing I have written down here, and then you guys can, if you have any questions, ask me, and we'll wrap back and forth a little bit, is you're gonna go to different people's workshops. You already have, I imagine, and you're gonna see their style. But really let your personality flow. Like, the human element is so important, and what you bring to the table as an individual is beautiful, and it's gonna color your workshop. It's gonna fill in the edges. We're all dealing with the same basic, very simple method, but for you, bringing in your personality, maybe it's mine is like yoga and meditation and things like that. It doesn't have to be that. It could be whatever you want it to be. And it begins to evolve with the personality. And so you might wanna do push-ups in your workshop, or you might wanna do, I mean, they probably don't want you doing power breathing until you're level two, but don't be afraid to let it evolve before your eyes. You know, you're gonna start taking risks and start playing around with different things. Don't be afraid to, because either way, if your students walk away with a breathing session and an ice bath, they're gonna be happy. So you got that in your back pocket. You're gonna succeed there. You're gonna give them a great gift either way. After that, start bringing in what you're passionate about. And if you're passionate about it, it's going to land and it's going to be great. And you get to watch something evolve, and you get to become your own brand. So that's pretty much all I jotted down before this meeting that I thought was important, but I'm sure there's a lot of other important details that I didn't think about because it's a ton. But if anyone has any questions, or if you guys just want to chat about anything, I'm here for you. I'd love to meet you.
Thank you so much, Peter. First off, just a huge thank you. I wrote down so many notes. I mean, from not forgetting the backup stuff, like the extra hose or the piece that connects, or finding out where the water source is, even the space, you know, are there regulations on how much space we need apart from each person? Do they have yoga mats? All these little fine details that we may just pass over. Having it written down here in a couple of weeks when I do an event, that will bring into my head, like, do they have blankets? Do they have pillows? I mean, this is important. So thank you for all of these tips. I personally have a question, if you don't mind me asking and popping this off. We just got access to put our name and our profiles right on the Wim Hof website. So maybe in a couple of hours, we'll be able to have our event live on the website. When it comes to getting people to your event, would you say that your social media is one of the biggest forces that gets you participants? Or would you say that the Wim Hof website, or both? Yeah, if you don't mind helping us out, because that's our next step.
I think early on, it was mostly friends and the Wim Hof website. You'll see a bunch, like the Wim Hof website is great because people are looking for it. And if you're in their area, you're the person they're going to find. Now it's probably 80% social media for us and 20% the website. But you'll always get people from the website. And one good thing to do is ask the person who's hosting it. That's what we do. We go to different yoga studios. Hey, you know, this will look good for your yoga studio. You know, it's a cool event, blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe they keep a percentage. And then they're incentivized to fill it. So a lot of times they'll do the marketing for you because unless you're doing it in your backyard, then you're really using social media, and you're really using like the Wim Hof site and your friends and stuff, but you can outsource that if you're using a studio space or an event space or something like that, and you speak to them. How are you gonna promote this? You promote it on your end, we'll promote it on my end. And, you know, I mean, their studio, they're money driven to a certain degree. So it's like, okay, we're gonna do this. You don't have to do anything. You can show up and experience it yourself. We keep, you know, whatever numbers you work out, 70-30 or, you know, whatever. But they're incentivized because they really don't have to do anything. They just have to provide the space and market it a little bit. And it makes them look great. You guys look great. It's a symbiotic relationship. You start building relationships with these yoga studios. Oftentimes, you know, they might want you back if they had a good time. Their students might ask who missed it, who were afraid the first time, are going to say like, all right, I'm ready to do it again the next time. So it really accelerates, which you'll see happen. So you just got to take those first couple steps and start refining your skill as a teacher. And then once you got your feet under you, it's just going to sell itself because it's a beautiful thing. It sold itself to you.
Thank you so much. That was really a great answer. I appreciate it. I'd like to open up the floor for anyone else who has questions. I mean, this is the time to juice Peter before his baby comes, because he will be not messaging me back because he has a baby coming. So I really want everyone to just take advantage. This is an awesome time. Thank you so much, Peter. I have plenty of questions, guys, but I really want to give other people a chance. Like, I have so many. All right. So if is that you, Odin? So if someone doesn't mind.
Shoot one more.
So when it comes to pricing, would you say that I'm confused a little bit about the pricing. I know you said that you started off with, let's say, whatever price works because you wanted to just get that experience in. However, do you feel that with time you will charge a little more? And yeah, what numbers have worked for you? I know this is all depending on the demographic, where we live, all of that, but specifically, how do you manage private events? Like, what is your hope after an event that you've took probably 8 hours to accomplish? Like, what is your hope? What is a number that we can shoot out there for, so we can have some kind of vision, objective, goal, if you don't mind sharing that number?
Again, early on, we really just wanted the exposure.
Yeah.
And that worked for us. I'm not saying that everyone has to do it that way. At the same time, you don't want to cheapen the method. You don't want people expecting, because I think the lowest you can charge on the Wim Hof website is like $75 or euros or whatever. So you don't want to cheapen it, because if people look at it and they're like, oh, that's like $40, then they don't see the value in it. So there's a little bit of that too. So right now our number, if it's close by and we don't have to travel, then probably like we want to make like $1,000 to $1,200 on a workshop that's like in the neighborhood. So sometimes we might hold the studio somewhat accountable to it, not like hold them accountable, but say that's what we expect, so that they know that there's an expectation there, that we're like, well, you know, we'll do one there, but like, it's gotta be at least like 12 people at $100 or something like that. Sometimes the studio will negotiate with you and want to charge less because they want to make it more accessible to their clientele. And then I'll say, well, you know, do you think you get more people, you know, and it might last a little bit longer. Right now, Jason and I are going a little up in prices because we're getting so busy, especially with the baby, and a lot of other stuff we have going on, you know, different like Kundalini workshops and stuff like that. So we're trying to balance everything out and make it, you know, keep ourselves passionate about it. I hope that answers the question.
Thank you.
You can even do some charitable stuff too. So I think it's a mixture, and you'll find out what works for you in your area. But even mixing in some stuff, we've done some stuff for just like, we want to do it for this group because we think it would be a good population to show this method. And sometimes that works just as a from a gift mentality, and then sometimes it works from like, these people are gonna promote it, you know, these people are gonna post, like, so they have a lot of followers and they're gonna post it all over their social media or something like that.
No, thank you. That, I mean, because I have an issue with charging. I'm the kind of guy, since someone comes in there and says, hey, you know, really don't have the money, I'm like, it's all right, man, you know. And then all this ice and all this food, and I'm end up just, you know, losing, which is not a big deal because I feel like I won by sharing. But now that I really want this to be a part of my life, I know that I have to start somewhere with saying, hey guys, I put a lot of heart and time into this, and being okay with that price. I think it's healing this financial issue with charging for something I love so much. But I really appreciate that. And I think some other people could relate too, because we're so new into the game that the imposter syndrome, like you said, could jump in. But thank you. And I know Odin had a question, so please.
Yeah, I'm curious, because you're doing also Kundalini, walking on coals. Are you combining all this into one workshop, or are you just, you know, one workshop Kundalini, or how do you actually do it?
Well, no, we do the Wim Hof stuff is pretty standalone, because I mean, we have trouble fitting it in 3.5 hours, you know, because oftentimes there's so many questions and there's so many messages that we want to get across. You can shorten it too. You'll figure out the right amount of time that you want to do it. But between Jason and I, it usually ends up being about 3.5 hours. So people ask us all the time, or do you want to mix in like a yoga flow or like some vinyasa? And we're like, there's no time, to be honest. Like, we want to give you this. We want you to fully understand this and feel like you walked away with all the tools to be able to start a practice. And then we do retreats and like weekend events where we mix in the other stuff. So like, kind of like the people who came to our workshops and dig it, it's like, okay, now that you understand it, we're not going over the science. We're not selling you on whim, or we're not teaching you how to do the breathing. Now you can just show up and we can do breathing, transition it right into some Kundalini, or transition it right into, you know, whatever it might be. And then again, you'll figure that out. But I think a workshop, it has enough with talking about the theory, Wim's story, the science, the breathing. I don't know how long you want your breathing sessions to be, but that's a big chunk of time. And then depending on how many people and how many tubs you decide to bring, the ice bath session can take a while, you know. And I don't know if they've talked to you about this, but I'd recommend one-on-one ice baths. I know I see pictures of people getting in of like 10 people. That is doable for some people, but some people can't. Some people need you right there. It's like, I've been reading all these birthing books, and every time I read about how I'm supposed to coach my girlfriend through through the birthing process, I'm like, that's what I do through when I get someone in an ice bath. And you're going to have all these different little tools. All right. Counting, eye contact. They might even grab your hand. You're going to want to make sure they get their shoulders under. All these little nuanced details. But it's important being in there one-on-one with them. And your students are really going to appreciate it, because they're going to be like, man, I couldn't have done it without you, Francesco or Pete or Anna or Christian. You know, I couldn't have done it without you. So they're going to be really thankful that you were there with them, because your brain is interpreting this as a near-death experience, and you help them get through that near-death experience. Like, humans need humans. Even if it's just an ice bath, the brain interprets it as something, and another human present is extremely powerful. I'm sure you guys can all relate to that. All right, Lulu has a question.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Yes. Hi, Peter. Hi, everyone. So I have a question for Peter, actually, because I'm trying to branch out to some hotels or any, you know, yoga studios. So how do you split? Do you do a cross branding where, for example, the yoga studio, since it goes through the Wim Hof website, they're gonna have a lot of visibility. The yoga studio, for example, yeah, they're gonna have a lot of visibility and maybe they're gonna get a lot of bookings. So how do you do a split with a public venue, let's say? How do you work that out?
It's really negotiating, just human to human conversation. I mean, if you want to have like a hard line on what you think it should be, then you can do that. But I usually go into it like, okay, what is this person expecting? Because I mean, you're doing all the work. All they're doing is providing a space. So I think we usually do 80-20 or 70-30, depending. I'm okay with both. But yeah, they're getting a lot of visibility. They're getting people in there who wouldn't normally come in there. So like yoga studios, your students are coming, but people who may have never been to this yoga studio are going to come too. And they're going to be happy. And then maybe they come back here for yoga. So, I mean, it's really a win-win for everyone involved. Sometimes you get people who are a little, you know, they just want to make all the money and you just show up and do your thing. And then you'll realize that and you just won't work with them, you know, and that's fine. There's going to be a ton of studios who are interested early on. Depending on your area, like when we first started, we were going to yoga studios and we're like, hey, can we do this ice bath thing? And people were just looking at us like we were crazy. This is before like the Goop Lab and HBO Real Sports. Everyone, I don't know what you're talking about. And we got our foot in the door with a friend who owns a dance studio. And we're just like, yeah, use it. You don't have to give me any money. And she promoted it. And then from there, it's just those first couple steps. After that, it's such a good gift. It's such a good method, as you know, that it'll cause a fire. People will start coming to you and you'll start getting phone calls.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? I mean, I'm telling you, I have a whole bunch. When it comes to the pool, I have the.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead, Dori. Please.
Yeah, I have a question. And thank you for this night, guys. It really helps. Anyway, let's give an example. Okay, this is the scenario. Okay, I have a friend who does yoga and does handstand. Okay, it was our dream to do a workshop together. Okay, it's going to be like first day, it's going to be Wim Hof fundamentals workshop for 5 hours and then goes with yoga and handstand, and the next day starts with Wim Hof method and shower or cold or blah, 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 and goes on like 2 days, three. So how can I promote this with my friend, okay? Is it going to be the first, I mean, is it fundamental workshops then with handstand or yoga, or it's collaboration, or we call it happy weekend, including Wim Hof method fundamentals and yoga? How can I promote that?
I mean, I think any of the ways of promoting it would work. I mean, it just, at that point, it's really how you want to color, how you want it to come off. I think I would be specific in that one, because there are two like desirable traits that people want: handstands and doing the cold. So you can give it like a fancy name, like you know, whatever, breaking through the barrier or something like that. But I'd say be specific, because those are two things that are kind of far away from each other. Whereas like something like Kundalini and the breathing are very similar. So it can transition well, but we don't find a segue as to how this is going to help with that, you know, energize yourself for, you know, the capability to get to a place of focus or something like that. The banner up top is broad and then below in the fine print, because that's what, especially with something like Wim Hof method, people are very nervous and scared. So they ask a lot of questions and they look for a lot of details to find comfort. So you'll have people ask you weird little details about, like, you know, what time do I show up and what should I wear and all this other stuff. But that's more just fear. So give them all the details they might need. Fuck, did I lose everyone?
No, I hear you. Thank you, Peter. I appreciate that. Thank you, Dorek, for the question. I think Christian raised his hand. No? You just gave me a finger like that? And if you don't mind, Miha, you have a question?
Yeah. So I really appreciate everything you said. And I want to have a little bit more insight on the responsibility part. Where do you write a line where you feel the responsibility for the process itself? And where do you feel like, okay, this is like no longer basically my responsibility to guide someone after some, I don't know, some period of time or some competencies or knowledge that you actually, I wouldn't say not, you don't have to have, but I wonder if you have this kind of line where you think like, okay, I think this person is actually needing some more than I can provide at this point.
Could you give me an example?
Yeah, so you said about these different questions, and I think sometimes maybe people will look for something in the method because everything else that they have, they've experienced right now, up until now, basically didn't work for them, or they are looking for like magic medicine, basically. So I wonder when do you decide to say, okay, you know what, this is something that is totally out of my league, and maybe you should go to someone else or search for something else.
Hmm. Yeah, that's one of those things. It's very close to call. I think.
Hey Pete, we lost you.
Is like keeping your ego in check, you know, because the only thing that wants to do something that's, you know, we're not capable of is the ego trying to prove something to itself. Oh, I should be the one to save this person. If you don't have the tools, then you'll realize it. And I mean, you bring up a good point. I do always try to point out to people like, hey, I'm not here to tell you this is a panacea or this is going to cure everything. It's not necessarily a magic bullet. It might be for you. It might solve all your problems, or it might be the launch pad for all your problems. But yeah, be careful in selling people that message that it's gonna, you know, cure everything. I do think it has the capability to put us on the path of deep, deep healing and be one of the main tools in that process. But like you said, yeah, people are looking for something and they're grasping at straws. You'll know when it's not your responsibility, and that's important, because you'll start learning how to create boundaries. You know, boundaries are really important here, because when you're in the position of a leader, especially in a space where people are opening their spirit up, they tend to look at you differently, and you'll start noticing it. And again, like you said, yeah, it comes down to responsibility. So, you know, don't take advantage of your students, you know, any of that. You're here, you kind of become a servant in a lot of ways. So I hope that answered the question. I feel like I kind of did.
Yeah. So how I interpreted it is like, really be careful about managing people's expectations, and basically keeping the mind of a servant all the time, not and remember that you are not the most important part of this of this thing, basically.
Yeah, you're just
they are basically, yeah. Thank you very much.
Great question and great answer. I think that's a wonderful way to wrap this up, that we're not the center of attention, we're not the main event, they are, and focusing on them. That's really beautifully said, Peter. Like I can't even find words to type this down for the show notes, because it's so beautiful. It really is about them and not worrying about, man, I didn't get them to do that. It's almost, yeah, I really appreciate that. With that being said, I really want to, again, thank you, Pete. And I want you and your lady and your baby to know that we appreciate this valuable time. And if you're not following Peter Reyes already, please go to the links that I sent into the WhatsApp and follow him, check out his website. And if you want to do an event in Ireland, he is having visions of it. So let's make that happen. I can't thank you enough. You've guided me. I know you say I over-exaggerate this mentorship, but you really did push me farther than you imagine. And yeah, now you're here for our crew. And hopefully this can pop off for our Wim Hof Wednesdays to be a structured thing in the academy. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And if everyone doesn't mind to turn off your unmute yourself, and let's just give Peter a huge round of applause, because this really was valuable information that I will appreciate for the rest of my Wim Hof career.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. And thank you for the time you took.
Thank you.
Good luck, everyone.
Thank you so much.
You guys
have a great
work. And feel free to reach out on Instagram or anything if you guys want to chat. But nice sharing the space with you guys.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, everybody, for showing up, being here, and see you guys the next Wim Hof Wednesday, where we have already someone set up. Peace, love, and chicken grease. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.